Okay, and the other thing to remember with autonomy is to keep your children hopeful. They will reach a point, especially when they start problem solving, that it will look hopeless to them. Because there's no way that they can get this little girl to be their best friend when that little girl is that one's best friend. It will look totally hopeless. Totally hopeless. She loves her more than me. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep them hopeful. Now, how do you do that?
One thing you reminded me of is to tell them it's not permanent. This is only temporary.
Exactly.
Tomorrow things will be very different.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that every day in their life is different. Every day is going to bring new challenges. Every day is going to bring new joys. Which are they going to focus on? The challenges or the joys?
Joys.
Well, you ask them. Which are you going to focus on? The challenges in your life right now or the joys? Yes, the challenges have to be met, but do they have to be all-consuming? And what's that going to teach them as an adult?
Look for positive at life.
Balance.
But just because you had a hectic day today does not mean that the rest of your life is going to be this way. It's just one day in your life. One day. Now, during that day, it seems like forever, but it's just one day. Any questions about autonomy? So what kind of a child are you raising when you raise a child who's autonomous?
Think for themselves.
One thing for themselves.
They know they can go to someone else. You don't have to know at all. You can always go to somebody else and ask.
Right. And that other people will come to you to ask. And then it's your responsibility to solve their problems. They're just one of the many resources.
They have a lot of the answers within themselves.
They have all of the answers. Yes. Only they have the answer to their problem. Only they. How I would solve it is not necessarily how Rose would solve it, is not necessarily how Rebecca would solve the exact same problem. It also teaches them that they are unique and that they should be proud to be unique. And that at the end of the day, who's going to be in bed with them in their head is them. And at the end of the day, they need to be proud of themselves, regardless of what the rest of us think. And that if they're not, they have the resources and the tools to fix it. It also teaches them that mistakes are normal, that anytime you grow, you're going to make mistakes. Some of them are going to be large, some of them are going to be small, and then it's not worth forming an opinion about yourself out of one mistake. That a mistake is a mistake. It really has to do with choices that you made, either good or bad, based on the information you had, which was good or bad, mm-hmm. based on the resources that you had, which was good or bad. And it really has nothing to do with you personally forevermore. And that's what you want your kids to know, that what happened today does not have to go with you forevermore. Because you're terrible at math today does not mean that forevermore you're going to be at math. This teacher hates you does not mean that you're a terrible person. Because that girlfriend won't speak to you does not mean you're not a good friend and that you're not worth being a friend. That's what you want your children to know, and that's the basis of autonomy. So part of teaching a child autonomous is teaching them how to problem solve. How many of you learned problem solve in your life? How many of you learned as children how to solve problems? Not you.
I didn't say I learned how to solve them well, but I learned how to solve problems.
So the basic ground of being for problem solving is that everyone has a solution to every problem that they have. Mm-hmm. The hardest part of problem solving is what? Which one of these? Define the problem, brainstorm, pick the solution, action, or reevaluate. Which one is the most difficult? Nope. Find the problem. If your child is solving their problems and their problems are not actually being solved, it means that they've not defined the problem. If you're having problems and it's not been solved, it means you've not clearly defined the problem. So the first thing we have to talk about is the difference between a parent's problem and a child's problem. For most parents, when the child comes home with a problem, whose problem does it become the minute that it's communicated?
Mine.
Now, how can you solve a child's problem to the best of that child's ability if you're the one solving the problem? You cannot. Because what you think is a problem and what they think is a problem are two different things. Mm-hmm. Two different things. Rebecca thinks her son's problem is his weight. Do you all think that a 9-year-old has a problem with weight?
No.
Think they're even conscious of weight?
No.
What are they conscious of? What are 9-year-olds conscious of?
Being accepted,
what other people think. And what else? 9-year-old boy. Girls.
It's not what he's eating. It's the promotions that he's going through.
He thinks his problem is weight.
Right.
Is his problem his weight?
No.
He dropped 20 pounds. Would his problems be solved? Would he be accepted? Mm-hmm. Would he be athletic? Would he be any more handsome than he is today? Would he be a different child?
No.
So the problem can't be weight. Someone has defined it as weight, but it can't be weight. 9-year-olds don't care about weight. What do 9-year-old boys care about? Girls. Girls, 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 girls. Becca doesn't want to know that, but girls. Little 9-year-old boys want to attract girls. So if you define the problem as weight, you could brainstorm the solution, or weight could pick a solution. He would take the action, Would that solve his problem of being a girl?
No.
Probably not. The solution would be solved. So what does that teach him? We go through this process and it doesn't provide a solution. What does that teach him?
It doesn't work.
As a problem solver, he's not one. So the most important thing that you can do with children is help them to define their problems. The first thing you have to do, however, is recognize that it's their problem. Mm-hmm. When they come to you with problems, you have to recognize that it's their problem. Now, will you have problems with their problems?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So anytime they bring you a problem, you're probably going to have a problem that you didn't have before they brought you that problem, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So his problem is girls. And what's Rebecca's problem?
Dealing with a grown-up child.
Dealing with a...
girl.
Yeah. A child who wants to be accepted, who wants to have a girlfriend, who wants to be athletic, who wants all of these things and never has been those things that she's supposed to instantly fix. Like she could just go, boom, you are now athletic. You are now a fabulous soccer player. You now weigh this amount. You're now this height. We'll buy you different clothes. We'll send you to camp. Fat camp, yeah, but we'll send you to camp. You see? So now she's got this problem called solve Eric's problem. She can't solve Eric's problem because it's not defined. So you have to spend more time with him figuring out, why does he want to lose weight? Ask him, why do you want to lose weight? Why do you think that your problem is weight? The kids tease me. Okay, the kids tease. What do they tease you about? They say, I'm too fat. I can't run fast. Well, Eric, a lot of people can't run fast. You work with him on figuring out what is the problem. Usually the problem for children will boil into one person. One person. Problems are not usually problems. They usually are one person. One person said, blah, blah, blah. I like that person. I want to be that person's friend. And this person said this about me. Now, is there a solution to that problem? Can you as a parent solve that problem for them? No, because what are they really dealing with? Rejection, fear of failure, humiliation, embarrassment. Can you solve all of those things for them?
No.
But if you define, can you cushion it? Yeah, you can walk them to school every day.
I'm not allowed to.
You're not allowed to
honk?
It's embarrassing, isn't it? Yes. Yes. With the voice.
Yeah, you are remembering that. That was embarrassing.
So the hardest part is defining the problem. Don't assume that when they bring you a problem that that is the problem. It generally is not the problem. Right. It generally is something that somebody told them that they believe, and rather than figuring out, is that my problem? Is that even a problem for me? Do I want muscles at 9 years old? Do I really want to play soccer? Rather than asking themselves those questions, they'll instantly say, okay, this is my problem because Patrick said so. Patrick said I'm too fat, and if I lost weight, I'd be more athletic, and girls would like me. And Patrick told me that. Patrick has lots of girls around him, so that's my answer. My answer is lose weight, be athletic, ski every weekend. That's my answer. And then girls will like me, right? Well, according to Patrick, they will. But what happens if he does all that and girls don't like him? What happens to his self-esteem? Because he gave it his best shot. And what happens to his relationship with Patrick? It's gone, because you lied to me. So you want to teach your children to solve their own problems. Now, in this case, it's a problem. It's not just a passing something. It's an emotional problem. Mm-hmm. So what is the problem?
That he doesn't feel good about himself.
He doesn't feel good about himself. Okay, then you ask him why. What don't you feel good about? Well, what would you do if you were the perfect weight? What would be different in your life if you were the perfect weight? Why do you want to stop eating ice cream in order to be... I mean, that's quite a sacrifice for your child to not eat ice cream. I mean, there's a problem here, and it has nothing to do with for him to give up ice cream. You know, he's either in love or something else is going on that has nothing to do with weight. So what would you be like if you lost a lot of weight? These are the kinds of questions you ask. What would you do differently? What would be different in your life? Okay, well, then that's not the problem. The problem isn't the weight. What's the problem? I like this girl. She won't pay any attention to me. Maybe if I lost a lot of weight, she would. Or I don't feel comfortable approaching a girl. Okay, well, that's a different problem. You know, that's a social skill you don't have yet. That's easy to learn. You don't have to stop eating ice cream to learn a social skill. But you're the one with problem with the weight. And so it's instantly defined as weight. Oh, good. He finally gets that he's overweight. And so here we go. Now we're going to solve Eric's problem with weight when it's really your problem with Eric's weight, which goes away with age, by the way. So the first thing is to define the problem. Then you brainstorm the solutions. Who brainstorms? You or the child? Both?
First you get the child's reaction to it, and you try to get some gentle coaching.
Uh-huh. And which one are they going to pick, yours or theirs?
Mine.
That's called dictatorship. That's not called problem solving.
Well, I'll move that aside.
It's called dictatorship masked as problem solving.
In the past, what I've done is always given answers.
Right. That's why the solutions don't work. You then become responsible for making sure that their problem is solved. So this is a difficult process to do with a child at any age. Mm-hmm. Because the brainstorming of the solutions, they're going to have totally ridiculous solutions. You know, well, Mom, instead of buying me an outfit, why don't you just make me one? Why don't you just take a week off work and make me exactly what I want? That would solve the problem of not being able to choose. They'll come up with totally ridiculous solutions. So you just write them all down. You write them all down. It's your job. Your job is to write. As they talk, your job is to write.
Okay, so you're not brainstorming with them? They're coming up with all that stuff?
Can. I mean, usually when you first start teaching them this process, they won't have anything to say. I don't know. If I could solve it myself, I certainly wouldn't be sitting here with you. I mean, that's kind of the attitude you get. I asked for your help. I didn't come here to work. So you start with a few, well, what's a solution? What's a solution to this problem? And you write down all the solutions. Then you have them pick a solution. You don't pick a solution for them. You don't tell them which solution you think they would work for them. You ask them to pick a solution, and then how are they going to put it into action? And then you reevaluate the solution. If the problem is not solved, what does that tell you?
It wasn't
the right problem. It wasn't the right problem. Otherwise, you would be able to solve it. And what most people do is go for a different solution instead of reevaluating. Well, if the problem isn't the girlfriend, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that the captain of the football team said I was fat, and I just feel like a blimp blob walking around campus. Now, you can deal with self-esteem problems if you know it's a self-esteem problem. But if he finds that the action he decided to take was to stop eating ice cream and it does not solve his problem, then you know that you didn't define the problem properly. Most people would go for a different solution. Well, we'll go to the fat farm. Okay, that didn't work. We'll enroll him in soccer camp. Well, that didn't work.
You keep trying
different solutions instead of redefining the problem. So if your solution didn't work, go back to the problem. It wasn't defined properly. You didn't have enough information to figure out what the problem was.
So the same thing was probably with Lucas' interaction with Tyler.
Right.
The problem was never really fully defined.
It still isn't fully defined.
Right. So how do those situations, should I have more information?
You're trying to solve his problem called Tyler. The teachers are trying to solve his problem called Tyler. The school bus driver is trying to solve his problem. Tyler, who's not got a problem, is Luca. He doesn't have a problem. You guys have a problem. He hasn't come to you and said, Mommy, I have a problem with Tyler. He doesn't have the problem. So you have all these adults saying this kid has a problem, and this kid's like, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. Tyler and I get along great. We just knock each other out every now and then, and that's how we solve a problem. His problem is he's getting in trouble with Tyler.
Right.
That is his problem. Have you defined that as his problem? Have you sat down and said, Luke, I have a problem. My problem is that this is not the way that we behave. Your problem is this is not the way you behave. You have that problem whether you know it or not. That is a problem. Now, how are we going to solve this problem? You have the solution within you. How are you going to solve this problem? Because you have this problem. Luca has never told you he has a problem with it. So it's never been his problem. So he's the only one who has the solution, and he's the only one not problem-solving process. So you are trying to keep them separate, and they keep coming back together. Sit this one in the front and that one in the back, and they still kind of come together. And because they do not have the problem. Who has the problem is the adults. You're trying to solve your problem, but your problem is based on Luca's problem.
If it's a self-esteem problem, how do you solve that problem?
How do you solve the problem?
My daughter comes and says, I have no friends, and I'm crying, and I'm crying. Bottom line, it's she doesn't have friends. She could have friends, but
right.
How do you solve?
But what's the problem? Is the problem that she doesn't have friends or that she's lonely? Problem.
That she doesn't have friends.
That's not a problem. There are a lot of people on the planet who don't have friends. There's emotion that's being brought up that's not being addressed. So it's their loneliness or it's...
Yeah, it's loneliness.
So how can she solve loneliness? See, when you define it, there's a solution. How can she solve her loneliness? What can she do to not feel lonely?
I mean, I've sat down with her, but and she said nobody pays attention to her. She tries to make friends. No one wants to talk to her. I don't know what more to say to encourage her how to make...
Well, you can't. It's her problem, and she's got to solve it. She has to know that she has the solution. All you can do is help her define the problem and then brainstorm and then encourage her to take an action on one of those, any one of those. You can't solve it for her. You can't give her self-esteem. You can do it to help her build it, But you can't just say, here, you now have self-esteem, mm-hmm. which is what we as parents want to do. Mm-hmm. You're a good kid. Don't pay any attention to anybody. Who cares if nobody in the world likes you? I love you. I think you're wonderful. And they're just missing it, that's all. Bad if they have a problem with you. It's their problem. But she's the one feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. So you help her define what it is that the problem is. What are the feelings that she's having? Or what is it she would do with friends that would be different than she's doing now? Mm-hmm. And if she's leaving, I don't blame people for not wanting to be her friend. Because they would get close to her and then she would leave.
Mm-hmm. So if the real problem is that he doesn't feel he can approach her, mm-hmm. I should have him brainstorm solutions of his own and write them down for
her? Yeah, how could you get to meet this girl? What could you do to meet this girl? So you're not going to go up to her in the lunch hall. I understand that. But how could the two of you get to meet her without having it be obvious that you meet her? Because 9-year-old boys, you can be obvious. I mean, they got a slide, and the girls are supposed to notice them. You know, they're not overt. Yeah, they don't really have total control of their body at that age.
And then have him pick the solution.
Have him pick which one, and then have him take action on it, and ask him to reevaluate it with you once he's taken that action. And just encourage him to take action. But you got to make it light. It can't become like a do. Something he has to do, because that'll create problems of its own. Carol?
The one thing that's become clear to me is I don't have the foggiest idea what the problem really is.
Right. Right.
I'm very clear about that.
Right.
Because we've solved it several times, and the next day she's changed her mind, and they're friends again, and then after that they're not again. And...
So what is the problem? When you love somebody and somebody doesn't love you, or somebody picks somebody else over you, what is the problem?
The rejection.
Rejection. This is not difficult. It's only difficult because you're involved in it. So you have to sometimes kind of step outside of yourself and say, okay, now if this were Barbara's son or if this were Rose's son and he really liked Michael and Michael didn't want to play with him, how would Luca feel? Rejected. Oh, okay. So the problem is rejection. She feels that she's being rejected. Is she truly being rejected?
Sometimes it looks like yes, sometimes no. It's just she's not number one. Yes.
This is a love-hate relationship between these two.
Huh? My daughter had three friends over the other day. I had their moms over.
Right.
And they kept on coming upstairs and saying, she's not being nice.
And would the moms handle it?
I think they kind of left it up to me because it was my house.
Mm-hmm. Usually if it happens more than twice, I go downstairs and figure out what's going on and tell them that if they can't play nicely together, they can't play together. That's all you can do. You can't expect that when your kids get together that they're not going to do that. But you can't expect that you can go down and solve the problem either, because you can't. You'll only get this much information, depending on what action they want you to take. So what is the problem as you see it, Mom? Dad? Rejection.
Right.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Have we been through all the other problems?
I don't know. Yeah, it's rejection.
It's rejection. Yeah. Or fear of rejection.
Right.
Okay. What would the solution for that be?
Find a new friend.
Move her to a different school. Teach her. Sometimes people will reject you.
Life is not fair.
Teach her. Life is not fair. Then you pick an action. You pick a solution. What's the solution? Only Danielle knows. And then take some action. Now, if she comes back and says, Maxine's still doing that, that's not the problem we set out to solve, Danielle. We did not set out to solve that when you solved this problem that Maxine was never going to reject you again. What did we set out to solve? Your feelings about being rejected. So how did you deal with your feelings when that happened? Well, then I'd say you were successful. Are you going to like it the next time Maxine doesn't play with you? Are you going to like it? Does she like it?
No.
You're trying to find a solution to a problem that's not your problem and is not even Danielle's problem.
Right.
And so there is no solution to that. But how Danielle feels about what Maxine does, you can solve. And Danielle can solve. But she has to know that that's not going to mean that Maxine is going to always be her best friend. That age, they want one person and one person only. Mm-hmm. And they want to hook like that and never let go. Forevermore, it's you and me, babe. And they fend off the boys, you know, all the 9-year-old clodhoppers. You know? And they talk to each other on the telephone and they start that socialization and then they start their gossiping about each other. And it's an emotional time. So if I were you looking for problems for Danielle, what problems Danielle had, I would start with emotional. At that age, I would start with emotional, because more than likely, it's going to start with emotional. But you have to let her know that this is not going to solve the problem of Maxine picking somebody else over you. That is not your problem. It cannot be solved by you. And that's the problem you've been trying to solve, is that she thinks that if she's good enough, Maxine is going to, ain't going to happen. Any questions about problem solving? Break?